All right, so let's do a little review. We had Joseph tested his brothers. Do y'all remember how he tested his brothers? Joseph had something he drank out of, a silver cup. He put it in Benjamin's sack. He put all their money in there also. Did his brothers pass the test? What do you think? Yes, very good. They did, because they brought all the money back, and they even swore, testified to Joseph that they didn't do it. We're going to read Genesis 45, 1 through 15. All right, then Joseph could not restrain himself before those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Okay, so what's happening here is his brothers came back with their grain and all their money that they were supposed to give to Joseph to pay for it, and the silver cup. And so Joseph is at the point where he can't restrain himself anymore, and he's got to tell his brothers who he is. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard it. So Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hasten and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son, Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of your brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You shall tell your father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hasten and bring your father down here.' Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." All right, so we got a lot going on there. All right, so why did Joseph tell everyone to leave? You remember? All right, so He was about to break down and cry, right? Because he wept. So he didn't want all his servants and all of them to see him this way. And he was going to reveal to his brothers who he was, who he really was. So who was it who sent Joseph to Egypt? God, you're right. Yep. So it wasn't Joseph's brothers and the evil act that they did that sent them there. It was God using their evil sin to bring about God's plan. What did Joseph tell his brothers to do? Go get my father, right? And bring him over here, and he can live with us, and I'll take care of him and all the family. Because there were still another 5 years where nobody could grow any food, right? So Jacob's 12 sons were reunited according to God's gracious promise. The sons of Jacob stood trembling before this fierce Egyptian prince. Okay, so they were scared of him. He was the ruler of that land. And a lot different type of a ruler than we have, where whatever Joseph said was to be done. If Joseph was to say, kill them all, they'd all be killed, or put them in jail or make them slaves, whatever. There's no debate about it or anything like that. There's no voting over it. Okay. They begged him for mercy. Judah even offered to become a slave if only Benjamin could be set free. What pain and unhappiness would have filled the hearts of his brothers. Then something very strange happened. The prince ordered his servants to leave the house and began to cry loudly, that many Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Imagine the president of the United States telling his staff to leave, only to begin wailing so noisily that it is heard throughout the entire White House. With tears streaming down his cheeks, the prince revealed himself. I am Joseph. I am your brother. Joseph invited his terrified brothers to come near him. He wanted to hug them. So you think Joseph missed his brothers? Probably hadn't seen them for probably 20-some years. It's a long time. Joseph's brothers were shocked. Was this a dream? Joseph? How could it possibly be Joseph? But as they looked at him, dressed in the finest Egyptian clothing, they began to recognize the fact, the face of their brother, the one they had betrayed and sold for 20 silver pieces. As the tears continued to flow, Joseph reassured his brothers of his love. Joseph was not angry with them. The evil that you did to me, he said, was actually God's plan. God was the one who sent me here so that I could be your savior. God rules over all this so that you and the world could be saved from this famine through me. So many years before, God had promised their great-grandfather Abraham that his family would become a great nation. But this promise would have failed if Joseph had not been sold to Egypt. The famine would have overtaken Abraham's family. And we also have to realize that the famine was part of God's plan also. So if there was no famine, there'd be no need for Joseph to go to Egypt or for his family to go there either. But God ruled over sin of Joseph's brothers to save them from starvation. Here in the Egyptian house, 12 brothers who would become the 12 tribes of Israel, the nation through which blessing would come to the world, hugged one another. Okay, so we learned several things from all these events. So we see that from God's plan, we see that Joseph had come to the point, not Joseph, but Judah had come to a point where he realized his sin. And he's no longer thinking of himself. Do you remember when Joseph, Judah, what he originally wanted to do to Joseph? He wanted to kill him. Yeah, they didn't like Joseph at all. So here we have Judah. In chapter 4, which is just before this one, Judah is begging Joseph to let his younger youngest brother go home to his father, because Judah knows it will cause Jacob much heartache that he would die. And Judah had a changed heart. He has no ill will against Benjamin, who was Jacob's favorite son now, like Joseph was. And Judah was thinking of his father also. Jacob, and now, and how it would affect him, and is doing all that he can to prevent this from happening. So here we see Judah with a changed heart. He's no longer thinking just of himself, right? He's thinking of his father. He's thinking of his youngest brother, Benjamin. This is the Judah that wanted Joseph dead. At that time, he was thinking of his own desires, only thinking of himself. And we also see Joseph changed also. He is no longer the arrogant little kid telling his older brothers they are going to kneel down before him and constantly showing off his very expensive coat. Do you know what Joseph did? He forgave them. So remember, they threw Joseph in this pit and they were going to kill him. But they sold them to these travelers for 20 silver pieces. So instead of being, because Joseph could have really done some bad things to his brothers to make them pay for what they did, but Joseph forgave them. And we see in Jesus teaches his apostles in 6:12 that we should ask God to forgive our sins as we forgive other people's. And this is what Joseph is doing. How could Joseph forgive his brothers for this evil that he'd done? Any idea? How could he do that? If somebody did something really bad to you like that, your first reaction would be to react bad, right? And here we have Joseph. It's because he saw God working in their sin against him. God has used this sin to send him to Egypt to bring deliverance during the famine. Remembering God's sovereign goodness can help us forgive our enemies as well. Can you think of another evil event that God worked through to bring salvation? How about you, Jesus? All right, so here we have the cross, right? The cross of Christ, the crucifixion of the sinless Son God, was the greatest evil imagined, and yet God ruled over it to bring about salvation for his people. And we see that in Acts 2:23. Then, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man arrested, attested to God, to you by miracles, wonders, signs which God did through him in your midst, as yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should hold him. Okay, so God works through even our evil desires. It works through our sins. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, Father, we do thank you that you are sovereign, that you work through even our sinful desires, that you can bring good about through evil, and the greatest good through the sacrifice of Christ. The evil that was done to him was for good, for our good, that when we believe in him, we have eternal life, that we have forgiveness of our sins. And we thank you, Father, for Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the tremendous sacrifice that you made for us. And in your name we pray. Amen.